Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Welcome to Behind the Headlines, where we're about to take you right across the UK, looking at some of the stories we've been covering today. We're at Old Trafford as Manchester United say goodbye to Ten Hag. We're with the bomb squad in Scotland. As the nights get darker, we're looking at the issue of running for women. And imagine doing a job and then 2 months on, you've still not been paid. We're hearing from an Edinburgh Fringe artist that has happened to. Before we dive straight in, let me introduce myself. I'm Louise Easton. I'm going to be your host over the next 10 minutes or so on Monday, the 28th of October, 2024. So, first up, Manchester United. They're looking for a new manager after sacking Erik ten Hag. The Dutchman has paid the price for his side's poor start to the season and will be replaced on an interim basis by former striker Ruud van Nistelrooy. Our reporter Olivia Davis has been down to the club's ground today.
Even though it's something fans knew was going to happen, it's still taken a lot of them by surprise. Dozens of people have been turning up to Old Trafford throughout the day, some happy, some sad. Earlier I spoke to Nathan, who turned up with his mum wearing his scarf and his badges.
You are a true United fan by the looks of it. What did you make of the news, you know, when Erik ten Hag was sacked?
Honestly, I'm happy for it, but at the same time, we do need a captain to actually stay, because if we don't have a captain, there's no structure. And if we keep moving about, the team's just going to downfall. We need structure there. We need someone to build up the team. Yes, he was doing rarely okay, but we need him. If he actually stayed on, we probably could have made progress.
Do you think it will solve the issues that are going on?
No. It's like a plaster on a wound that's not going to heal it. It's definitely going to get worse.
What do you think to the players and stuff? Do you think there needs to be a reshuffle with that?
No, honestly, I like the way the players are put out. I like the way the lineup is, definitely. I just think it's not our decision at the end of the day. It was up to them, but we'll see how it is. But in my opinion, I think it was a good choice.
Who would you like to see replace him?
Couldn't tell you. No. Someone that we can count on. We don't want someone who comes in, makes a sham of the team.
Now, before we discuss the issue of rising bus fares, we're heading to Scotland now, where the bomb squad remains in Clydebank after teams were called to reports of a suspicious item at a tower block. Dozens of people remain out of their homes and services running through Dalmuir Station are off. Here's our senior reporter, Callum McQuaid, who's at the scene.
Well, a huge blue and white police cordon remains around two tower blocks here tonight. Officers started knocking doors, telling people to get out around lunchtime. Many of them are taking shelter across the road at Dalmuir Library. Stephen Fleming is one of them.
How does it feel seeing all this unfold on your doorstep?
Worrying. You always think it's usually down the south when you see this kind of stuff happening. Well, the community support has been there, absolutely. Neighbours getting together, and the community hall has been fantastic, giving us teas and coffees and stuff like that.
Kathleen can't get to her brother, who's not allowed outside his flat.
I'm scared. 51, and I've never seen this. Never.
What have the police said to you about when you might be able to get back in?
But they didn't say what time, people are out here, people can get in the flats. There's old people, young people, myself.
Now, I understand officers have been here since early this morning and more have been arriving throughout the day. There are adults, children and elderly people all anxiously waiting. The public is still being asked to avoid this area just now, but I understand there are no reported casualties.
The Prime Minister has been accused of imposing a bus tax after announcing Wednesday's budget will see many fares rising by 50%. Sir Keir Starmer says the Tories didn't fund a £2 cap on ticket prices beyond the end of the year. It's one of the more contentious issues that's being discussed by the PM today in Birmingham. Here's our political editor, Georgie Pajomu.
It's expected to be difficult, and it's expected there'll be tax rises too, but the Prime Minister says it'll be worth it.
Our economy stabilised. The foundations fixed. Hope for the future restored.
And this was his message to critics.
Let them tell us what they would do. Which public services would they cut? Which other taxes would they raise?
Meanwhile, the Tories have this to say.
Yeah, this is a budget, potentially, of broken promises. This will have a huge impact on all of us.
Victoria Atkins there. Our senior reporter, Hannah Richardson, was in the room with the Prime Minister earlier.
Well, it was rounds of applause as Starmer defended his government's decisions. These people are in the audience for his speech.
I could take certain bits from what the PM was saying regarding kind of bringing back the structure of the country seems to come from a good place.
Got to rebuild Britain. As you said, no more sticky plasters.
All eyes are now on Wednesday as we wait for Rachel Reeves to deliver Labour's first budget in 14 years.
Our political editor Georgie Pedromu there and our senior reporter Hannah Richardson. Back to Scotland now, where police are urging men to challenge inappropriate behaviour towards women. The campaign titled That Guy is continuing following a 20% increase in reported rapes this year. Our reporter Molly Tullett has more on this one.
Campaigners are telling us there's an epidemic of sexual violence towards women after 1,400 rapes were reported to the force this year. The numbers are from between just April and September, and rape campaigner Ellie Wilson tells us the trend is concerning.
Far too many women and girls are experiencing sexual violence. I mean, it's 2024 and we're still talking about this epidemic of violence against women and girls, and it's not good enough.
Ellie was raped by her ex-boyfriend Daniel McFarlane while she was a student, but hopes the renewal of Police Scotland's campaign marks a step away from the culture of victim blaming.
We've been told, you know, don't wear this, don't go out late, don't get drunk. But now I think with the That Guy campaign, the responsibility is being shifted on men. And I think that that's really important.
Police Scotland is urging more men to call out the behaviour of their friends, with Assistant Chief Constable Steve Johnson warning this year's numbers are just the tip of the iceberg.
If all we do is wait for the more serious stuff to challenge, then we're really missing the point here. This is the sorts of small comments that people make, the constant looking at someone, the objectifying people out in that public space. It's unwanted, it's unnecessary. Be that guy that challenges that behaviour rather than that just laughs along.
The That Guy campaign was originally started by Police Scotland in 2022.
Well, sadly, we're sticking with the theme of women's safety as we're looking at the issue of how women runners are feeling now that the darker nights have arrived. Research from the University of Manchester earlier this year found over two-thirds of women who run at night experience some form of abuse. Our reporter Elliot Burrow has been out for a run around Worcester to find out more.
As a regular runner, I'm used to running in all conditions, the wind, the rain that's here at the moment, the sunshine. But as winter does draw in, it's the darker nights like this one, which is an increasing concern for women.
I prefer to do it in the daytime. I don't go running in the dark. I personally don't feel safe enough, and I'd much rather be safer and run during the day or in the morning or in a group.
This is one of my normal routes around the city. I've got my green high-vis jacket on and a running light, so I'm well prepared. Kelly Tidbury is from the Raggy Doll Runners Club in Droitwich, and she says having the group is really helpful.
With our group, you always get someone that seems to be similarly paced, which means that obviously no one's left by themselves.
I've got roughly 3k left, so I'm going to go now and get that finished.
Well, Elliot has now finished that earlier run and joins me. Elliot, how popular are these running groups with women where you are locally?
Well, Louise, from the two sessions I went to speak to some of these runners, both had turnouts of around 10 or more. And by listening, there was that sense that being in these groups just made everyone feel more comfortable, really, when they were going out on their runs at night, that they could just focus on simply enjoying the run and being around others and not worrying about anything else.
And I imagine what you've been hearing is pretty reflective from across the country. But I am interested in your perspective as a man. Do you tend to consider your own safety when you go out running? And were you surprised by anything you were told by women runners?
I'd say for me, when I'm heading out at the moment, it's a case of just checking I've got my high-vis running jacket on, my running light, and making sure my laces are tied, that sort of thing. But I do try and stick to areas I know just so that I can work out where to get home on them if needed. But I feel as though that's like the normal process for runners in general this time of year. Hearing that someone has to have a tracker on them if they are running solo so their partner can check on them if they're worried and run with an alarm, that's something I've never even had to do or even considered. It's entirely different, and it did shock me.
OK, thanks, Elliot. You're listening to Behind the Headlines. A paedophile who made AI images of child abuse using real pictures that were sent to him has been jailed for 18 years. A court has heard 27-year-old Hugh Nelson made around £5,000 over an 18-month period from selling the images. Well, our regional correspondent Victoria Glover joins me now and can tell us a bit more about what happened.
Nelson used a computer software to create lifelike characters similar to those you might see on a computer game. He'd then use AI to put the faces of real children on those characters, which he got from photos people using the service gave to him.
And Victoria, how big of an issue is AI becoming for police?
Well, they say it's a growing problem, with computer-generated content now forming part of many of their investigations. But Nelson's offending went further than just creating images. In some cases, he actively encouraged his customers to carry out real-life sexual abuse against the children involved. DCI Jen Tattersall heads up GMP's online child abuse investigation team.
It might be an innocent photograph, but someone using software like this can actually make that image or that person in that image do things that are, quite frankly, disgusting.
Well, police are now urging parents to be vigilant when sharing photos of their children online.
OK, thanks, Victoria. Now, it's been 1 year since an ice hockey player in Nottingham was killed in a really horrible incident. To remember Adam Johnson, who died during a game between Nottingham Panthers and the Sheffield Steelers, fans and players have been coming together to support each other. Our chief reporter, Maddie Bull, has been speaking to some of them outside the Motorpoint Arena.
Hundreds of bunches of flowers are piling up under the numbers 47's memorial plaque as fans travel to the home of the Panthers to pay their respects. A year ago today, around 8,000 people watched on as a player from the Sheffield Steelers collided with Adam, causing him to suffer a fatal neck injury. Michelle was there with her son and his friend.
There was people crying, my son was sick, people were passing out, you know, there were people, everybody was just helping each other. We'd got talking to a family sat behind us and they were really good. They were offering to help me and the boys to the car.
Well, over the weekend, clubs around the country honoured the 29-year-old with applauses lasting 47 seconds. These fans tell us the hockey community is the only thing that's helped them through the last year.
It's the whole family thing, isn't it? So, you know, when you play a sport that is violent and, you know, contact sport, you've got to live by a bit of a code.
When you're a big part of the team, it sounds cliche, but it is hockey family and we all stick together.
Police are continuing to investigate Adam's death, and a man who was arrested on suspicion of manslaughter last November has been rebailed until next month.
And artists owed thousands of pounds from Edinburgh venue Summer Hall say they're still in the dark over when they're going to get paid. It's as the business finds itself at the centre of a legal battle over unpaid tax allegations. Our senior reporter Jack Foster has more.
Summer Hall say its bank accounts remain frozen as a battle with HMRC rumbles on. On the upside, the venue is managing to continue operating, but on the considerable downside, tens of thousands of pounds owed to performers still haven't been paid out, leaving many in a state of limbo with little to no information. People like Laura Horton, a playwright based in Plymouth, who put on a show there during the Fringe and is still due £15,000.
It's causing a lot of anxiety, even just the effect this is having on, like, my nervous system, I think even if it does get sorted out, I think is going to have a bit of a long shadow.
Summer Hall say they remain in a challenging situation and are exploring all avenues with legal advisers. The venue's management insists it's doing all it can to resolve the matter.
Well, for more on any of these stories, head on over to the news pages of our website or check out our social media channels. And be sure to come back again tomorrow when we'll continue to take you behind the headlines.